During the next 25 years, as developing nations like China and India industrialize, world energy consumption is expected to double. With oil and gas supplies diminishing, many scientists believe that hydrogen, the most abundant element, comprising three-fourths of the mass of the universe, could be an important energy carrier for the future. This spring, Congress will vote on a measure to increase the national budget for development of pollution-free hydrogen energy. The bill's sponsors believe that we need to find a clean, plentiful substitute for fossil fuels before Germany and Japan beat us to it. Alan Weissman brings us this report.
This is an electrolyzer, a device that splits water into oxygen and hydrogen. Back in 1870, Jules Verne's book Mysterious Island envisioned a world that would one day derive an inexhaustible source of heat and light from water's component parts. Many scientists say Verne's vision is both possible and practical. When the hydrogen produced by the electrolyzer is captured and then burned as a fuel, it recouples with oxygen in the air to form water again. If a car that was adapted to run on propane or natural gas use hydrogen instead, its only tailpipe emission would be water vapor. For automobiles, many scientists advocate using hydrogen in highly efficient, refillable devices called fuel cells. Like batteries, fuel cells chemically convert fuel directly to energy without having to burn it. But unlike batteries, fuel cells don't have to be recharged by plugging into dirty power plants that only shift the pollution elsewhere. And if the electricity to create hydrogen from water comes from solar energy, hydrogen in effect becomes a way of storing the power of the sun. Because the hydrogen can be used even when the sun's not shining. But even if all this can be done, will it be done?
Which technologies, electric, methanol, ethanol, natural gas, hydrogen hybrid?
At a recent White House conference on sustainable technology, a panel including representatives of the big three automakers met to discuss the viability of switching to renewable alternative fuels.
So anybody have any comments?
I would say you'd have to make the assumption.
Bo Campbell is the Washington-based technical liaison for General Motors. Campbell likens the problem of hydrogen to the classic chicken and egg dilemma. In order for an alternative fuel vehicle to be viable, there must be filling stations to supply it. But no one will build hydrogen fuel pumps until hydrogen cars exist in the first place.
It's very difficult to compete with the existing fuel on that basis because it is so readily available anywhere I go. As a customer who wants to hop in my car and tour the U.S., I want to pull in some little town in Montana and fill up my tank when I want to do it, not have to depend upon sticking to certain routes because those are the only routes that have the fuel that I am using in this particular vehicle.
And, Campbell points out, hydrogen has another disadvantage. You can't just dig a hole and find it like natural gas. Hydrogen has to be manufactured, making it more expensive than fossil fuels. Would we be willing to buy it?
Given no change in the price of gasoline or fuel, I would say the prospects are very dim. That we stay at $1.20 a gallon for gasoline and similar price for diesel fuel. There's no incentive for customers or consumers to go to anything else.
Hydrogen advocates agree that the market is stacked against them. So they look to California, where the state has mandated that by 1998, 2% of all cars sold there must be zero-emission vehicles. That figure will rise to 10% 5 years later. California's tough regulations were adopted with the hope that the huge Los Angeles market for cars will convince oil companies or entrepreneurs to begin building an infrastructure of filling stations that will offer alternative fuels like hydrogen. But Bo Campbell doubts this demand really exists.
The fact remains, Californians don't buy any more really fuel-efficient vehicles than the rest of the country. We have to sell to people that buy, and we have to produce products that people will buy, or we go out of business. It's a simple law of economics. When Californians start buying the available 50-mile-per-gallon vehicles, I think they would then have more stature and more weight applied to their arguments.
I like the Partnership for New Generation of Vehicles as a better approach.
Robert Mull is the Ford Motor Company's director of a Clinton administration program called the Partnership for a New Generation of Vehicles, in which the federal government and the big three automakers promised to produce by the year 2004 a prototype car that gets triple today's expected gas mileage, about 80 miles per gallon. Hydrogen supporters argue that this gasoline-powered vehicle will be illegal under California's mandates. Yet, like his GM counterpart, Mull doubts that society is ready for the expense of converting auto factories and mechanic shops to build and service hydrogen fuel cells, or of overhauling our natural gas pipelines to carry lighter hydrogen gas. Such massive undertakings, he says, could require many sacrifices.
Look at the national highway system as an example. In 1952 or whatever it was, and they decided on the interstate highway system. I mean, a lot of people who were in the path of the interstate highway system would say it had a big effect on me. I mean, you know, they went through cities and they, you know, was it worth the social cost to have this interstate highway system? And I think that what policymakers have to do is they have to convince the body politic, why are we doing this? You know, when there is a cost, it's a major redirection, it has huge funding. Obviously, you have to build consensus on what you're trying to do and convince people it's, you know, it's in the national interest to do it.
Proponents of hydrogen don't dispute this, but they point out that in the past, the United States undertook enormous expenditures like the Interstate Highway System or the Marshall Plan because leadership convinced us that it would be good for America's future. Nevada Senator Harry Reid, who favors converting the giant nuclear test site in his home state into a huge photovoltaic field to produce hydrogen with solar energy, thinks the time has come to do so again.
This is something that must be done, and it must be similar to what President Kennedy did when he broke all barriers and say we're going to go to the moon in the space race. I don't think we have a choice. Hydrogen fuel is going to come if we can survive as a planet. It's the only fuel that we've developed yet that burns cleanly, and if you have a problem, you're hauling hydrogen fuel and you run into a shoal, your tank is ruptured, you disperse vapor. I mean, it's the best. So of course we should do it yesterday. We need some direction from the president to say this is something that must be done.
But so far, the Clinton administration hasn't shown much interest in hydrogen research. Currently, hydrogen receives just $10 million a year from the Department of Energy. That's about 50 times less than studies on fossil fuels, nuclear, or fusion, a technology that no one expects to be ready for a half century, if ever. Energy Secretary Hazel O'Leary says this simply reflects current market realities.
I recognize the impatience of almost anyone who favors one alternative energy source, but we have to play out these investments, especially those that are clearly ready for market entry. And in my strong opinion, we haven't yet gotten there with hydrogen. We will continue to work on the experimental piece. When we're ready to ramp up, we'll do it, but we must first deliver other more mature technologies to the marketplace. People like vision, but they also like a vision that marries to the reality of quite frankly being something that's affordable as well. And that's the challenge, to marry the vision with a very pragmatic investment to take things to the marketplace where there's a marketplace ready for them.
Yet the new chair of the House Science Committee, Pennsylvania Congressman Robert Walker, who's also known in Washington as Newt Gingrich's science mentor, has a different view of both the market and the future.
Heard people say here recently that if Edison were to invent the light bulb today, that the headline would probably read, thousands of candle makers to lose jobs. The fact is, we've done major transitions of this type during the 20th century, and I believe that we will see even more enormous kinds of transitions in the 21st century. People are going to have to adapt, but look, huge corporate structures that a few years ago were thought to be absolutely essential to the economy have now collapsed or have been downsized to the point that they are much different kinds of things today. And it was a wrenching exercise, and many people suffered terrible personal consequences. But in terms of our overall national competitiveness, we have emerged stronger from that.
Walker says our American lifestyle can't last unless we switch to hydrogen.
If we look at the kinds of things that Americans like to do, For example, Americans like to have their own personal transportation. They like to have their own cars. We are in the process now of beginning to believe that it's going to be impossible for Americans to exercise the option of having their own car because they are too dirty technology for us to extend very far into the future. With hydrogen, you solve a lot of those problems. It gives us an opportunity to do what Americans like to do best, and that is be free roamers of the planet, and to do so in an absolutely environmentally sound way that doesn't require a lot of government to big brother types of regulation.
Despite Republican threats to dismantle research budgets and maybe even eliminate the Department of Energy altogether, Walker has introduced legislation to increase spending on hydrogen research fivefold, albeit to a still modest $50 million. He says this is needed because German and Japanese automakers, such as Mercedes-Benz, BMW, and Mazda, all have hydrogen prototype cars, and the U.S. is being left behind.
I've talked extensively to some of the research people in Detroit about the use of hydrogen. Detroit hasn't really moved very much in that direction, and they're going to have to be encouraged to believe that there is a real hope for the infrastructure to be in place and some other things before they will move real aggressively in that direction. They have a huge investment in internal combustion engines, huge investment in fossil fuels, and they're not about to set that investment aside until they can see that there is real potential. That's the where government, with some very good research, could help prove the case.
So could it be that conservative Republicans will be the ones to persuade Americans that alternative energy isn't just liberal fantasy? James McKenzie, a senior associate at the World Resources Institute, fears that even Newt Gingrich's science mentor won't be able to overcome the biggest obstacle to implementing clean hydrogen energy.
The biggest one being that the price of oil has never been lower. And if you look at it in constant dollars, and competing against a dollar a buck gasoline, everything has a problem. Electric vehicles have a problem. Alternative fuels, everything. Conservation has a problem. We ought to be pricing our fuels realistically along the lines of Europe and Japan, which pay $3 to $4 a gallon. And I think for this reason that hydrogen will probably make inroads faster in Japan and Europe than they will here. We're facing an uphill battle when all the economic signals are working against us. And if 1995 turns out to be the hardest year on record, then maybe we'll start moving to do something about it. But absent either those kinds of stimuli, it's not clear that we're going to move forward at as fast as we ought to be.
In the meantime, Mercedes-Benz has recently announced that it has cleared the major hurdles to producing the first commercially viable hydrogen-powered automobile. And Japan has unveiled a multi-billion-dollar 28-year program to form a global hydrogen system. The question someday may not be whether hydrogen will become the energy technology of the future, but whether the U.S. will have to buy that technology from its competitors. I'm Alan Wiseman, reporting.